You know, we serve an awesome God. Okay? I've been through tough times. I've been through great times. And through it all, God is good. I can say when things don't work out the way you think they should, God is good. And when things work out the other way, God is still good the whole time. Come on. Give God a praise. He is so good. He is so, thank you for what you've already done, God. Thank you for what you're doing. Man, and I appreciate every single one of you. You know, when you go through things, and Jenny was 5 weeks early last Friday, and her water broke. And I looked at Jenny, and I said, what? And she said, my water broke. And then I said, are you sure that your water broke? She says, what are you thinking? And I said, I don't know what I'm thinking, but it's 5 weeks early. It can't be. So you begin to go through something, but I have a family. I have a family of believers, and I've been through things, but knowing that you have a family of believers who are praying, who are standing in the gap, because at times you just don't feel, I was like, what do you do? You know, I have 7 kids now, and it's like, I know what happens when you have a baby, but I was just uncertain for a moment there on what you do, right? It's kind of weird, right? But you're like going through that, and I really felt the favor of God, and people began to speak favor over my life. Pastor Sandy said favor over my life, and there was such a peace and a calm, and I'm not telling you I felt that way all the time. I wasn't sure where I was going or what hospital we were even going to be in at times, because we ended up going to Grand Forks, but there she is. There's Hazel Grace Ramsey, 5 pounds, 12 ounces. I'm telling you, you will. I'm taking you up. I got a lot of witnesses here that just got that, so you ain't getting out of that one. So, 5 pounds, 12 ounces, she was born. She was born, I'm telling you, I just felt the favor of God throughout the whole thing. And I just began to listen to God in every step of the way. And it wasn't like I was in heavy prayer. It wasn't like I was just moving, but I just listened. And me and my wife were still. She ended up having an epidural. And she's never had an epidural before. And everybody knows an epidural is. That's something that takes away the pain. And it was the first time. And the guy asked us, do you want to do it? And we've never done it before. And we just felt like, you know what? Yeah. You know, we just felt in the spirit, yeah, let's do it. Tell you what, she got that thing. She didn't feel a thing the whole time. We were sitting there watching TV, and the lady comes in. The lady comes in, she's like, you know, the baby's kind of acting up a little funny. And when the baby gets in a certain position, the heart rate can change a little bit because she's, you know, a little stress on her. She's like, the baby's acting kind of funny. Let's check. And it was only a matter of a few hours. She was at a 4, and then a few hours, she's all of a sudden at a 10. She's like, the baby's ready. And she's like, what? She didn't feel a thing. Okay, it's time to push. She pushed, right? Baby came out, healthy, breathing, all those things. 5 weeks early, you don't know. But man, she was eating, she was warm, and she was just, it is so good. It is so good. And we exhort and we just thank the Lord so much for what he's doing. So thank you, the Holy Spirit, amen. We give God so much glory. He's doing so much. I was listening to last week's sermon, tremendous sermon Pastor Jake shared. Talk about living in an ascended lifestyle, talking about seated in heavenly places. I'm telling you, when you walk and you feel the favor of God, it's so wonderful, okay? And when you know there are a body of believers who are praying for you, they are bringing you into a better, bigger place. It's not that God wants to take you out of your circumstance. It's God wants you to face those circumstances in a different way, amen? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. In 1 John 4:17, it says, as we live in God, say, in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid in the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Say, here in this world. We have a right. And one of my favorite scriptures in the beginning of John, he says, those that believe, he gave the right to become sons and daughters of the Most High God, seated in a heavenly realm. We have the right to live in the favor of God. And actually, if you think about it, if we're not living in the favor of God, we're actually living in illegal behavior because it's our right. It's part of his kingdom that we be there. Amen? That's what sons and daughters do. So I was just thinking about our thoughts towards when we go through things, how we live as Christ lived here in this world. And I thought about allowing ourselves to live in that ascended lifestyle, So one of the things that maybe some of us have and we might look at is an anger problem. And this is from Graham Cook, and he talks about a man who was born again for 20 years, and he says, I just have an anger problem that I can't seem to get over with. And he said, you know what? Your problem isn't an anger problem, but you have a problem with gentleness, right? I said, really? That doesn't make sense, you know, in your natural mind, but you have a problem with gentleness. The Bible says we walk as he walked, right? The fruits of the Spirit. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. These are what? Gentleness, long-suffering, peace. So your problem isn't an anger problem. The problem is you're having a hard time walking in gentleness. Right? That's a different way of looking at it, right? Here's the problem. Many of us just try to get rid of the problem, and we think that solves the problem. This mindset that a negative with a negative makes a positive. If I remove something, therefore I should be okay. But we forget the whole indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he said, live in me. I just read it, right? That we could live. And as we live in God, as we find this place of abiding in God, we have every right to abide in God, to stay there. This concept that we come in and we come in, come out, is not the right concept. Right? It's a sinner saved by grace concept. That means I sin and I need to be saved again. And I sin and I need to be saved again. And I sin and I need to be saved again. And the Holy Spirit came and he said he convicted us of sin that we might believe. But he also came to convict us of something else that was very important. In John 16, 18, when he comes, he will prove to the world wrong about sin. So we get born again. But then of righteousness and judgment about sin, because the people do not believe in me. The only sin that I believe that God's really working on is unbelief. The sin of unbelief. We've heard that before. Do you believe? That's the only thing that he's convicting us is our belief stature. Because once we get our belief lined up with the Word of God, our behavior will automatically change. We're so focused on behavior all the time. I got to do this. It's really exhausting. You know what? God, take the whole Old Testament. He tried to work with people's behavior. God couldn't do it. Don't think for a second that you're going to do it. Right? He was constantly trying to help these guys in their behavior. And he said, you know what? This is exhausting. I'm going to change them. Right? I'm going to give you a whole new heart. Right? I'm going to give you a whole new, I'm going to clean the slate. I'm going to reset the whole thing. I'm going to make you a new creation. And anyone that's in Christ, he's a new creation. Second part, about righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. Verse 10, where is he? He's with the Father, ascended in heavenly places. So what is he convicting us of? Of righteousness, right? Our rights. So many times we're just focusing on the problem and trying to get rid of the problem, but we don't stand in our rights. Do you understand? He's convicting of us of our righteousness. So he's. If we don't abide and live in God in our circumstances, we tend to default to the old ways we always used to handle things, to the old ways we used to handle relationships. If we don't step into that abiding love, if we don't step into that place of gentleness, if we don't step in and embrace that place of long-suffering, guess what you default to? You default to an old behavior again. And you go around again. And you face that same circumstance again in that same position. Oh, and you don't discover who you are in Christ. You don't discover, hey, I can abide in love here. If I'm struggling with fear, guess what God wants to give you an encounter of? Is greater love, right? But if you go back through that circle again, doing it the same way you did before, seeking the same way, you're going to come back to that same spot again. And God's saying, can you hear me now, right? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? And you're like, man, when are we going to get through this circumstance? I'm so tired of this thing. And God's still saying, hey, can you hear me now? He wants you to think of yourself differently in the circumstance that you're in right now. He wants you to discover who he really is. You know you serve an awesome God, and you know you serve a good God, because that's all he can be. So what he's trying to do is reveal to you who you really are in Christ. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. How many have a new car? Isn't that awesome? Michaela has a new car. And it's a payment plan. It's a lease plan, right? Now, how many people do a payment plan, a lease plan, and don't drive the car until they're done paying the lease or payment plan? How many people do that? You would never do that. That's crazy. But when you become a new creation in Christ Jesus, how many of us wait until we think that we've got all our problems straightened out before we step in to that new vehicle and start exercising what it means to be a new believer. You're crazy, right? There's a brand new car there, but you want to drive that old thing. And it's probably dead. Caleb, what happened to your other car? It blew up. It died, literally. The engine died forever. So that's what we are. We're crucified in Christ. We're dead and we're buried. Those are dead things. There's a newness of life that's come up in us in Christ, and we have rights to. And the Holy Spirit's been released to say, you have a right to stand now in my love. You have a right to stand now in my peace. You have a right now to stand in my joy. You have a right now to stand in my gentleness. I don't want to take you out of that circumstance. I want you to stand right here. He's doing it right now. That's what the army does. They come into position. You got the authority. You got the power. I want to demonstrate it in you right now so that you know. So on the day of judgment, you're going to have confidence because you know. Right? You don't want to be keep going around the same mountain and the same mountain and the same mountain when God's really trying to get us to stop defaulting to our old behavior. He's not upset with us, people. He's not mad at you at all. The love of God has been poured out. He's trying to open our eyes to the rights we have in Christ, right? And I love what Jake was sharing last week in Ephesians 2, right? And I'm going to just read Ephesians 2:1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin. Say, I'm dead. Man, that's good preaching, huh? In which you used to live. Say, used to live. When we followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. He's convicting us. All of us also live among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our old flesh. This is old. This is the old car. The follower of its own desires and thoughts, like the rest. We were by nature deserving wrath. But, and Jake was talking about the but last week. Come on, right? It's very important. Because of his great love for us, verse 4, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Say, with Christ. Even when we were dead in our even when you were driving that old, beat-up, dead car, it's not going anywhere. You knew it, I knew it. He died. He gave us the provisions to have the new because of his great love for us, made us alive in Christ. It is by grace that we've been saved. And God, what? He raised us up. So you're not dead anymore, okay? It said right here, God has raised us up with Christ and seated with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that in the coming ages he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness in us in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? That means when I'm facing my circumstance and I'm unsure of my situation, I'm drawing off a thing that is not from this world, but it is from heavenly places. We pray it all the time. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There are no problems in heaven. Are there any problems in heaven? No, there's no problems in heaven. So we're calling towards heaven and bringing it down earth. There are no problems in heaven, just possibilities and promises. Right? Just possibilities and promises. So when you go through something, right, we're thinking, all right, here we are in a situation where there's an opportunity to call forth heaven down into my situation. Oh, I get it, okay? I just can't wait until that person leaves me alone. You tired of that one person? I'm tired of dealing with this person over and over again, right? Ask Jesus. Sometimes he got tired of the disciples. He did. He said some things. They could be called what Graham Cook called grace givers in our lives. What that means is God is asking you to step in something that you have never stepped in before in order to show that person something they have never seen. Really? Unconditional love? Joy? You know, Jake was talking about last week just going around smiling at people. You know what? Just saying, hey, Sharon, hey, man, do you want to come to church, man? Praise God, things like that. And the guy said, what, church? And he flipped the switch. He bumped him a little bit. But that's good. People need to be bumped a little bit. But he was giving love and he was exhorting that person. They had a time of connection there. Right? Can you demonstrate love, right?
So as believers, it's not a sin issue. God is dealing with our righteousness. He wants to reveal to us our authority in Christ and walk accordingly to that identity. Come on, he wants us to walk in authority according to our new identity. And you're getting challenged in the natural with that. You are. We all are. And we got to be careful how we pray. God, get me out of the situation. Well, that's a sinner's prayer. You're looking at yourself as a sinner. Because you just want to be saved from your situation rather than ask God, who am I now? Well, who do you need to be for me now? What do you need to demonstrate for me now that you've never demonstrated before in my life? Because the Bible says he's given all authority and power to us. God has given us all authority and power unto us. He's asking us to walk in the situation differently than we've ever walked before. You're in the same situation. If you've been in the same consistent situation over and over and over again, it's not God's fault. He's trying to get your attention and show you something. He wants to show you your authority in him. He wants to show you what you have a right to, his love, his joy. It blows your mind. It should blow your mind because it comes from the heart. I want it to blow your mind. That experience this last weekend blew my mind. Me and Jen were just like, okay, 5 weeks early, I don't get this. Okay, fine. But I feel your presence. It was in my heart. I was safe. Tony, you were saying it's going to be right. Man, Sandy, people speak in your life. I feel the favor of God. You know you're right. Because sometimes we need the body to speak to us because it feels like you're on a roller coaster and it's hard to hear sometimes. So praise God for the body of Christ who stands in there and speaks life into this situation where you're not by yourself, right? Webster's man, just come on, man, the power mighty of God. I'm like, yes, you're absolutely right. He wants to reveal to us our authority. But you got to see yourself as a new creation. What old things are dead, all things are new. It opens the door to heavenly possibilities because my person has changed and I have new belongings. A new vehicle, right? You don't put old things in a new vehicle. You put new things in a new vehicle. I wouldn't want, right? You want to put old things in there? But he's showing us how to live this way. So the days of judgment, we have confidence in him, knowing that he's a good God and we've experienced such great, great possibilities, which is everything in heaven, promises and possibilities, all in heaven. But you got to take it, right? You have to take it. I'm a father. Right? You're not going to change that. I'm a father. I don't want to be a father. You're a father, Tom. You know, years ago when I got married, I'm married to the most beautiful, awesome woman in the world. I don't know what you other guys do, but that's what I got going for me, so it's easy. Right? She's not here right now. She's maybe watching, but I am, so it's really easy for me. When I got married, I was a husband. And I'm a husband. And I know the Bible says husbands, head of the homes. Husband loves your wife as Christ loved the church. So immediately after I got married, I knew all that stuff. I was a pro. Right? Why are you guys laughing? That just doesn't make me think you believe me. That's right. That's the joy. That's a good one. So I'm thinking, all right, I'm the man now, I'm in charge. I became a man. Woohoo! Got married. I'm a man. But now I began to encounter all the dynamics it meant to take that place in family dynamics and making choices and decisions. And I began to feel this weight because you're not sure of yourself, right? You're not sure the first time you drive, you're not sure of all these things. But I knew something right away in my spirit. I knew something immediately in my spirit. I said, there is an attack, and it's not from a person, okay? There is an attack on your authority as a man in your house right now. And it's not coming from any person. I want to make that very, very clear. We don't wrestle against person, people. It wasn't. It was something going on in me that I felt the enemy challenging my authority, what I felt like, and everything. And I knew I had to make a stand in the spirit. I did. I said, something's not right here. And I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew it was my place to take, and it was my time now because I was there. I was married. It's my time now to take that place. And I'm not going to say it was all pretty from there, but I took it. And as men, you got to take the wheel. It's not pretty all the time. But here's what John Bevere said, and this is a prophetic word that he got years before he started his ministry, and as he was going, he said, if you don't take your authority, someone else is going to take it and use it against you. So as men, this is just one example, but as men and husbands in our home, if we do not take our authority, take our position, someone else will, and they're going to use it against you, and it's going to get ugly. So you walk in authority, but he said he was full of mercy and he's full of grace. I'm so thankful God is merciful because I know I've made mistakes, but I took my authority. And he who has begun a good work is faithful to complete it, but you got to take it. You can't hand it off to somebody else. You can't say, well, let's just do whatever. You take that thing. You ride that thing. And guess what happened? God began to cover my family because I was taking my authority. He began to deal with me. Yes, he began to deal with me, Danny. I began to realize that maybe I wasn't speaking love language all the time 100% real perfectly. I was understanding that I wasn't always speaking in pink, those who've done love and respect, that I was speaking in a language that she didn't understand, and that she understood that she didn't. Okay, we went through that, and we're going through that, and we're still growing in that, okay? Because we do grow in that. Okay, right? But you have to take it. You have to see your identity as a son of the... You have to see who you are in the new creation, and you have to take it. Okay? And what's happening right now with circumstances and situation is God giving you an opportunity to step in that place, and you begin to take it. And I'm telling you, it's not going to always look so pretty, and you can't be afraid of that. You've got to know God's love, and that's what's one beautiful thing about the whole trip is that his love will always be there. His love endures forever. He keeps carrying us through love, and you just ride that thing. And yeah, you know what? It looks kind of messy. When you first start driving, I bought Kayla a really ugly car because I knew it could get messy. Am I picking on you this morning? It's getting laughs, honey. I guess keep going. Okay, pull it out. But now she's got a brand new car. So it blew up, now she got a new car, so that's great. Did I lose it, Danny?
Nope.
Good. Here's the deal. Even if we make mistakes, if I take my place to lead, even if I don't do everything right, I'll learn to walk in it better. You will never learn and you will never grow unless you begin to take it. You will never get to know. And it said in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed because they just don't know me. They just don't realize what this is and what you've been given. And we got to stop praying for God to take us out of the circumstances. We got to stop praying a little differently. We got to start praying, God, who are you? Who are you now for me? Who am I now? What do you want to show to me that you've never shown in me before, that I could walk in love like I've never walked before, that I could walk in peace like I've never, because it has to happen. Because if it doesn't happen, someone else is going to take that. Someone else is going to take that place and that authority and is going to take it from you, and then it's going to be like, wow, and you lose the control. You can't let go of the wheel. And that's for every single one of us. It's an invitation. I love that word, invitation. Every circumstance, every situation is always going to be an invitation to learn something more about who God is and who he can be for me. It's every single one. We've got to stop being afraid of those things because there are no problems in heaven. And we have a heaven that we call out to, and we have a heaven that we can go up and we can abide in. We can go out there and we can reach up and reach out and change everything. And allow ourselves to be fueled by that Spirit and abide in him. It's something that we need to be in because that's who you are. Do you understand? I see frustration in believers because they get this list of things that I'm supposed to do, or I'm supposed to be this way. And they separate it from their identity. It's real easy to be something that you already believe you are. But if you don't believe you're that, then you're never going to walk that way. Because you're always trying to fix yourself, and you're always addressing the sin issue, and you're always looking down on yourself, and that's the enemy, that's yourself. You know, there was a point in my marriage where I could have just put my hands up, you know what, I'm so tired of just dealing with, just do whatever you want. And we can't do that in the Spirit of God. You are a son and a daughter. You can't just throw your hands up and say whatever anymore, because you're giving the wheel away. And we can't be frustrated with God with that. But when our frustration comes, we got to realize that God's trying to bring you in an upgrade. He's trying to show you something more. He's trying to grow you in that experience. He's trying to give you driving time behind that new vehicle. He's trying to show you how to hit the next gear. He's trying to show you how to hit third and to hit fourth and to hit that pedal to the ground and make that turn. But we can't be staying in one, and we can't get out of the driver's seat anymore. It's a relationship with God that He's wanting to walk with us and grow in Him. And you bring that all forth. You can't bring partial things. You've got to jump in the whole thing, and you've got to allow it to happen, because that's the only way. You can't be a partial father. You can't be a partial daddy. You can't be that. It doesn't work. I'm going to be a father today, and next week I'll be a father, but I'm going to take a whole week off, and I'm going to expect everything to come forth. No, you're not. It's not going to happen. I'm going to be a Christian today because I come to church, but tomorrow I'm going to be something else. It doesn't work. It really doesn't. And we know when we clock out. It's not like a job. You punch in and you punch out. You punch in and you punch out, and you walk in, and you're not abiding anymore. It says, live in me. He says, that's not us. We're so much better than that. That's what God's saying. That's not who you are. I'm not mad with you, but that's not who you are. I've called you as a son. The inheritance of the kingdom of God is just sitting there. And what I see happening is that He's allowing us to just sit there in our circumstance, and He's waiting for us to discover something great. Because when you discover something great, no longer are you going to be bothered by circumstances. You're just waiting to see, you're excited to discover who God is for you. Who can He be for you now? Because we believe... what? That God, that there are no problems, just promises and provisions in heaven waiting to come and invade us, to take us up and out, right? He's challenging our belief in that area, and He's taking us to that place. Chad, would you come and play that song again? Because I believe that song was anointed, and that's exactly where it's at. When He says, bring it all to the table, that means it doesn't work anymore, partiality. You know what I'm saying? You got to bring it all to the table. Jesus said, He said it in the beginning when He began walking His ministry. He said, you know what? You got to bring it all and through it all. And you got to lay it down before God again, everything. You know, going through something again, it only reminded me that this world is only so temporary, but we can call forth and we can trust in a God who's eternal. And you bring that thing down and you walk into His favor and His peace. Listen, if you're dealing with frustration, if you're dealing with a difficult circumstance, if the only thing you get out of this morning is God's not afraid of your circumstance, and you shouldn't be either. Heaven's not afraid of situations on earth. Heaven's not, there are no problems in heaven. He's allowing you to have this opportunity to discover who He really is for you in a greater dimension. Really, He is. We can't get our sight off of that. We've got to stop giving the devil so much credit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the devil's beating me down, or the devil. No, he's not. He's defeated foe. That's what the word says. I mean, I just quote the word. And we resist him by abiding in the Holy Spirit. So stop focusing on problems. Stop focusing on the anger. Start focusing on the gentleness of God. Say, God, how do I walk in gentleness? How do I walk in your spirit? He says, abide in me. Fear is not the issue. The love of God, walking in God's love, is the issue. Come on. It's all right there. Walking in and trusting in God completely. Paulette, man. The love of God has been poured out. When I see Paulette and Wade, I see the love of God. And it gives me great confidence that we serve an awesome and mighty God. We serve an awesome and mighty God who loves you so much that through it all, come on, you go through it all. It's an emotional roller coaster to my soul. You know, it's my baby girl. God, what's going on? But He surrounds His people, and we abide in a place in the heavenly realms where there are no more problems, only possibilities, only promises. And He's trying to reveal all of that stuff to us. And these are the opportunities right now. Let's stand this morning. Right now. The eyes of our heart to be enlightened, that we would know the hope that which He has called us to. The eyes of our heart to be enlightened. Come on, we work so much.
I just feel like the frustration of life tries to bring us down, but God is turning our heads to the heaven, and he's saying, listen here. Your frustration is not with the negative, your anger. The frustration is that you have not discovered how to walk in my love, how to walk and abide in me. And the Lord says to draw unto him, and I will draw unto you. He's standing at that place. And he didn't go anywhere through this whole thing. He hasn't gone anywhere. But he's waiting for our response as sons and daughters of Most High God to come boldly to the throne room, which is called grace, and allow the ability of Christ's complete work to begin to flow out of us for real. Because it doesn't work this way. As a pastor of a house, I watch people and my heart breaks because I see them struggle. And I say, I see him struggle, and I say, the Lord is only trying to grab our attention and say, this is your time, this is your chance. Grab my moment in me and walk in my peace, walk in my love. Learn what it means to reach up and reach out to heaven and allow my presence and allow my goodness to overtake us. It's the time is now, and the place is here. What a great and awesome God we serve. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just see there's something in the communion of God, and I believe that he just wants us to make a step of faith, and that we'd all come up. We're not going to lay hands on, pray for everyone, but we'd all come up and say, hey, God, we heard today, you know, he wants to commune with us. He wants to bring us to that table. So would we all come? And let God just do something in your heart. Let him speak to you. And if it's a touch that you're needing, let God touch you. If the voice of God needs to speak to you, let him speak to you. If it's just to say, hey, you know what, God? You know what? You're just such a good God. Hallelujah. Let's just come up and as this song is saying, let's just release ourselves into his grace. Tom talked about grace being there. Hallelujah. So let's just do that.
Hear the voice of love that's calling. There's a chair that waits for you. And a friend who understands everything you're going through. But you keep standing at a distance in the shadow of your shame. There's a light of hope that's shining. Won't you come and take your place? Bring it all to the table. Nothing he ain't seen before. For all your sin, all your sorrow and your sadness, there's a Savior and he calls. Bring it all. Thank you.
Father, we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the song that is sung into our spirit. And that this next week, may the Lord shine upon us. May he show mercy and goodness and grace upon our lives. God, that he would show us who we are and who he is. And he has called us to this place. He said, I do not want to have you somewhere else. I want you to be with me, and I want to be with you. And he's looking at his righteousness, and through looking at his righteousness, we can see us righteous in him. We release your blessings upon each person, upon each family, upon their time this next week. And God, when we gather again, there will be a communion between you and us, that this is where we want to be. Here's the place we want to be, in your arms, in your love, in your mercy, in your heavenlies. We declare it now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. May you go with the peace and the power of Christ. Make sure that you hug a few, shake hands, hug a few people, and encourage them in the Lord. God bless you.